This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the entire program today, because we have some beautiful music for you, and we are winding down this week's installments in our verse-by-verse study of the Book of Acts, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Of course, the series will continue next week for many, many weeks to come, so I urge you to tune in each and every day you can, Monday through Friday, for this wonderful study from the Book of Acts. But before we get to all of that, I want to remind you that this is the last week of our gift offer B that contains 5 hardback books by great men of God that my dad admired and studied after, and I know that you will be blessed as you read and study these books. Men like Dr. C.I. Schofield, Charles Spurgeon, and others, all great men of God. And listen after the message, I'll tell you all about it. But right now, let's hear 2 great songs, and then Dr. Green.
Make me a channel of blessing.
Is your life a channel of blessing? And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Now, kind Father, as we open thy word to continue our study today, lead us, guide us, and direct us by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, I spent most of the time on verse 16 in Acts 3. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, I just want to say one thing today that I don't feel that I emphasized enough on yesterday. When the Lord Jesus Christ does a thing, regardless of what it is, doesn't make any difference what it is, when God does it, he does it perfectly. God Almighty cannot do anything that is not perfect because he is perfect, and certainly a perfect God could not and would not do anything imperfect. So when a soul exercises faith in Jesus Christ in his shed blood, and that soul receives the finished work of Jesus, that person is made perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that you want scripture for that, and I don't blame you, and I'm going to give it to you right now. I wish I had time to read all of it, but I can't afford to because it would take several minutes to read all of chapter 10 in Hebrews. But in Hebrews 1, the law was a shadow. Now, the sacrifices were offered every year, but it was impossible, verse 4, for the blood of these sacrifices to take away sins. Now, when Jesus came, he said God gave him a body, and in that body he paid the sin debt once for all. Now, watch this. We read in verse 9, Hebrews 10:9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now notice that. When God does anything, he does it perfectly. He does it one time, and he does it so perfectly he never repeats it again. When God redeems a soul, God redeems that soul perfectly. Let's read on. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Now notice that. These sacrifices offered by the priest in the Old Testament, under the Old Testament economy, could never take away sins. But this man, Hebrews 10:12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Now, I'm going to read another verse in just a minute in Acts 3. In fact, it is verse 21. We'll read it in just a few minutes, and I'll point out something here. This man Jesus, the Son of God, the Just One, the anointed servant of Jehovah, the one that Pilate acquitted, the one that they condemned. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now watch this, watch it. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said, as had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now, the thing that I want to point out today, in Jesus there is perfect soundness. In Jesus there is perfect forgiveness. In Jesus there is perfect redemption. In Jesus there is perfect salvation. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice, sat down. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Glory to God. So I'm glad that Jesus does not halfway save us. He does not three-fourths save us. He saves us perfectly. He saves us entirely. He saves us totally and wholly when he redeems us by the precious blood that he shed on Calvary's rugged cross. Now in verse 18 of this chapter, now of course verse 17, he said, I wot that ye through ignorance did it, as did also your rulers. Now, verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Now, there was no excuse. There was no excuse for the Jews, for the Israelites, not recognizing the Lamb of God who was wounded for their transgressions, ours, of course. He was wounded for transgressions. He was bruised for iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. They had the Old Testament. They had the scrolls of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Zechariah. They had the Psalms. There was no excuse. They should have known that the Lamb of God, when he came to pay the penalty for sin, he would come to be wounded. He would come to be bruised. He would come to take their sins and nail them to the cross. But they didn't. They were ignorant. They were willingly ignorant. They closed their minds. And if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this age hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel should shine into their hearts and they should be converted. Now, Peter reminds Israel that God showed these things. They had no excuse for their ignorance. They had no excuse for their darkness, because the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, all that is the fathers, all of the fathers, the God of the fathers had made known the sufferings in type, and of course through the feast and the tabernacle and throughout the religious carryings on in the Old Testament, they pointed to the Lamb of God. For instance, in Genesis 3:15, when God promised Adam that he would put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, certainly he said the seed of the woman. Then he promised in Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive. And of course in other places. Now, if the Israelites had been interested in knowing the truth, they could have found the truth. And let me stop right there and say this. My mail brings letters day by day. Now, for instance, let me just briefly refer to the testimony I read in the first part of this broadcast. There was a precious, precious lady. A disease made her blind, and then her eyeballs were completely eaten up by this disease, and she was in total darkness physically. But she heard the word. Now listen. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, he that heareth my word. And this precious lady, she could not read, she could not see to read, she could not go to church, she was blind. But she heard the word of God through the gospel hour. Not only the gospel hour, there are many good gospel programs. Yes, there are many good sound gospel programs. And so I say today to any person listening to the gospel hour right now, and you have said, Brother Green says one thing, somebody else says something else. Brother Green preaches this, and somebody else preaches that. Now, who am I going to believe? Believe the word of God. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, let me tell you something. If you can read, if you are not blind, and you can read, get you a New Testament and read the Gospel of John. Read the book of Romans. Read Ephesians. Read these books with an open mind, with an open heart. And I'll guarantee you, if you want to know the truth, if you want to know the way of salvation, if you want to be saved, if you'll read these Gospels and read these messages laid down in the Word of God, I'll assure you the Holy Ghost will enlighten you. The Word of God will open your heart, and God will save you. There is no excuse for ignorance. There is no excuse for spiritual darkness, because the Bible is the light and the Holy Ghost is the teacher. And if you want to know the truth, you can know the truth. Now Peter said, and now brethren, I want that through ignorance you did this as did your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law. He fulfilled every demand, every command. He fulfilled every feast day, holy day, every sacrifice, every offering, every ritual. Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans 10:4, ye are complete in Jesus. Colossians 2:9-10. And praise God, if you want to know Jesus, you can find him if you read the word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Now, Peter then admonishes, repent, repent ye therefore, and be converted. In Luke 13, Jesus said in verse 3 and also in verse 5, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. John the Baptist came on the scene preaching repentance. Jesus came on the scene preaching repentance. Peter comes on the scene preaching repentance. Every Bible preacher preached repentance, and God's preachers still preach repentance. I said God's preachers still preach repentance. And if your preacher does not tell you to repent, he's not preaching the gospel. Salvation comes by grace through faith. But when one hears the word and is convicted of sin, I'll assure you they'll repent of that sin and they'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. I tell you what I wish you'd do. Read the 13th chapter of Luke. Read it. I don't have time today on the radio. I cannot afford to take the time. But in that chapter, Jesus warns, repent, repent, repent. And then on down through the chapter, he sounds out the solemn warning to those who wait too late. I say to you by the radio today, as I've said several times this week, I've said it several times in the messages this week. You may be a good Baptist, you may be a good Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Lutheran, Catholic, what have you. You may be a good church member, but my friend, if you have not repented, if you have not exercised faith in the finished work of Jesus, if you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't care whose church you belong to, and I don't care how sincere you are, you're lost. You're just as lost can be if you have not repented of your sins, if you have not called on the name of Jesus, if you have not exercised faith in his finished work, you are lost. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, I said a moment ago I would read verse 21. Let me read verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, you see, Peter said, Christ, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution, until the time of restitution. Now, when Jesus had finished his ministry here, when he had paid the sin debt, he was buried, he rose again, he appeared 40 days, and he ascended, and he took his seat. I read to you in Hebrews 10 just a moment ago, this man offered one sacrifice once for all, forever and ever to be repeated. And when he offered this one sacrifice, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty. And there he is. He's seated there. The heavens did receive him. And he is seated in the heavens at the right hand of God the Father. And he's there to make intercession for you and for me. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And Jesus is there today. He's there right now. He will hear your cry. He will listen to your plea. He'll save your soul. And he'll make intercession for you. And in that great judgment morning, he'll confess you to God the Eternal Father. But I'll guarantee you, if you refuse to repent, if you reject him, he'll reject you. If you refuse to confess him, he will not confess you. Matthew 10:31-33, he said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Heavenly Father. So don't forget that. Now, Jesus died on the cross, and Peter said, preaching, he shall send Jesus Christ. He'll send Jesus Christ, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Now, that's when Jesus comes and sets up the kingdom. Glory to God. Oh, yes. The Jews, you see, they read in Isaiah 11 about the glorious kingdom. They read in Ezekiel about the glorious kingdom and in Jeremiah, and they couldn't understand why their king was nailed to a cross. They failed to see that the thorn crown preceded the crown of glory. Now listen to Paul. Here it is in Paul. The creature was made subject to vanity. This is Romans 8:20. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself, now watch this, the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now the whole creation was cursed when Adam sinned, and the whole creation has groaned and travailed ever since. But one day, the second Adam, the last Adam, will come again. Christ will come again. He's in heaven now. Peter said it's necessary. He must. The heaven must receive him. And Jesus has been there since he ascended. But one of these days, when the church is complete, when the bride is complete, Jesus is the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And one of these days, when the New Testament church is complete, the church will be caught out. Then the Antichrist will run his course during the time of Jacob's trouble. Then Jesus will return and set up the kingdom. He'll sit on the throne of David, and he'll reign for 1,000 glorious years of peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Read Isaiah chapter 11. Read Revelation chapter 20 verses 5 and 6, and you'll see clearly that there will be a glorious kingdom right here upon this earth. God promised that kingdom to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. God promised it to the fathers, and God will keep his promise. God has never broken any promise spoken. Now Peter rebuked Israel, then he compassionately begged them to repent, and he assured them that Christ Jesus will come again. And he is. He's coming back again. Chapter 15 of Acts tells us that Jesus at first will take out a Gentile bride. Then he will return and build the tabernacle of David. I believe his coming is at hand. Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet Jesus if the rapture should take place today? If you're not, God grant this be the day, right now, this very moment, you bow your head, close your eyes, and ask God to save you for Jesus' sake. Father, honor thy word, the precious name of Jesus, the shed blood of the Lamb, and save every soul that is under conviction, especially that soul that's nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. Now, I know that all of you enjoy the teaching of Dr. Green and enjoy studying along with Dr. Green, but we all need to look at other great men of God. If they're fundamental and stay true to the Bible, we can always learn from such men. And my father did that. He studied many other great men of God, and he looked for books in old bookstores that were by a man who believed as he did and taught the Bible unadulterated, straight from the Bible. And these five books that I'm going to tell you about now make up Offer B, and they are books that my dad thought so much of that he reprinted them himself and made them available to us to study. Otherwise, we probably would have never seen these books. They've been out of print a long, long time, and all of these great men have long ago gone on to be with the Lord. But Gift Offer B contains five such books, and this offer is available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $5 or more. Please send more if you can. If you can send $10, $20, $50, or even more, the Lord will bless you for your giving. And if you would like to order several sets of this offer, looking ahead to give as Christmas gifts or to put in your church library and so on, you may certainly do so. Just tell me how many sets you want of this offer, and please send the donation of at least $5 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you First According to Promise, or The Lord's Method of Dealing with His Chosen People, by Charles H. Spurgeon, a great man of God. This book is 20 chapters and 128 pages. All of these books are hardback books. Then we have Night Scenes of the Bible by F. E. Marsh. Also, The Olivet Discourse by A.C. Gabelline, a study of Matthew 24 and 25. And Thou Fool by Dwight L. Moody. Now, another great man of God, 12 sermons in this study. Finally, Plain Papers on the Holy Spirit by Dr. C.I. Schofield, who put the notes in the Schofield Bible, with chapters such as The Holy Spirit is a Divine Person, The Holy Spirit Before and Since Pentecost, and so on. So to get all five of these books, just ask for offer B and send your gift of at least $5. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.